Hi, I'm Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to
Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist.
This is a podcast where we explore the world through our own personal feminist perspectives.
And this is take two.
Take two.
A little peek behind the curtain. Usually, we don't redo our intros.
Nope.
We just keep pushing on. But my brain feels like hot lava. And yeah, like it's just spilling.
Yeah.
There's like spillage.
I can see it coming out of your ears a little
bit.
Yeah,
it's kind of just spilling all over the place. So I did make a correction. And last week I said that Trump was trying to appoint a national security advisor.
Mm-hmm.
And that is incorrect. I meant that he was trying to appoint a director of national intelligence who was not qualified for that job. So that guy's name is Richard Grenell. And Richard Grenell is the first openly gay person to kind of like take on that role. He is the acting National Director of National Intelligence.
You got it.
Holy shit. So he is the acting Director of National Intelligence right now.
Yeah. And you were saying that people are a little bit worried about it because they don't think he has the experience.
Right. So that's what I was saying last week, that he doesn't have the experience to be doing this job, because right now Trump is basically like taking out all of the qualified people, like taking out all of the adults in the room and filling these positions with loyalists or people who are like super loyal to him.
Yeah, it's interesting that an openly gay person would be the first person in this role when it's under Trump's administration. It's a very bizarre sentence.
Yeah, and we had this conversation last week that it's more to do with the fact that he is a Trump loyalist than the fact that he is a gay man. Like, Trump doesn't really care about those things.
No, he doesn't. He does for optics, I think, with his followers. I almost said his fans, but they kind of are
his fans. Yeah, he cares about appeasing his base.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I don't think he really gives a shit. His most important priority is himself. He's a narcissist. So as long as, like, you love him, then he will love you back and reward you for that.
Exactly.
But I did see that he's kind of fucking it up a little bit right now.
Oh,
so
boy.
We'll see how that goes.
I don't have any notes on this, but I wanted to just kind of have a discussion with you. I was just talking with my mom about the debates again on my way over here. And I was also speaking with my bosses about the Democratic candidates, and they're like, oh my God, who are we going to vote for? And the biggest thing in the debate from last night, we're recording on Wednesday, by the way, so Tuesday,
yeah.
I think it was on Tuesday.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it. I wasn't able to watch it. But from my understanding is that everybody went after Bernie because he's doing so well.
Mm-hmm.
And they really went on Bloomberg because of a lot of his past sexual assault things. I posted something on our story today, and it said he had almost double the sexual assault allegations as Donald Trump.
Right. Like, he has 60-something. Trump has 40-something.
It's like 64.
Yeah.
Something crazy like that. And I was speaking with my mom about that and the debates and where everything was, and she was saying how, you know, if she didn't watch the debates and only saw the ads or only knew what she heard, she wouldn't think that Bloomberg is so bad. But she's like, I listen to you guys, so I know, so I've done my research. And
that's what he's banking on.
He's
banking on throwing money at the problem.
Yeah.
And the reason why he's not concerned right now is because we look at this and we say, oh my gosh, he's spent $400 million on this presidential campaign, $400 million of his own money. Oh my God, that's so much money.
But we've spoken about this before, that it's really just a drop in the bucket for him.
It's one, a drop in the bucket for him, and it's two, probably less than he would lose if somebody like Bernie or Elizabeth Warren, who wanted to tax billionaires, got into the presidency.
Right.
So I think that fear of someone going in and quote unquote going after his billions scares him more than putting money out of pocket for his own campaign.
Right. Well, and then the other discussion I had this week with my bosses about Bloomberg and Bernie and everything is that, like, I guess a friend of theirs had posted on Facebook about why Bloomberg is the better choice because he's a centrist.
No.
And that
he's a Republican.
And that basically, and that people aren't going to vote for Bernie because he's too different. And I was trying to explain this where it's like, that's the narrative that, like, the DNC wants you to believe.
Absolutely.
They want you to believe that we can't have a very leftist president. And part of me needed to examine that because I was thinking that, you know, Trump has such a high approval rating right now
that... Relatively high.
It's relatively high. Still, it's gone down.
And it's still lower than most other presidents in history at this point. But for him, it is high.
But the percentages of, like, you know, the people that guess, like, who's going to win or whatever, I guess he's still looking pretty good right now. But I had to think about it because I was like, the way that we would beat Trump is for possible Republicans or centrists or people who... aren't quite left-leaning Democrats, and even Republicans have to still vote then for the Democratic candidate, wouldn't they, for Trump to win? So are we looking for someone who's votable by the Republican standards, or are we... You know what I mean? I had to think about that a little bit
right,
this week.
Right, absolutely. I think that that is what the DNC, that's their angle, right? That we need somebody in the center to pull back because there is a contingent of voters who voted for Barack Obama and then turned around and voted for Trump.
Yeah.
Right? So we're trying to court those voters back. We're trying to court back, like, the moderates. And I do think that's something to be concerned about. However, Bernie's actually polling fairly well.
That's what I was thinking, too. It just kind of made me think about the whole... game of it.
Right. You know? Yeah. Bernie is polling fairly well. And in addition to that, I think what my main goal will be, and what I would like to use this platform for and my own personal life for, is getting people who have not been voting out to vote.
That's what my mom was saying.
Yeah.
Too.
I think that is a huge part of it because, yeah, sure, if you look at the people who voted in the 2016 election, sure, we're talking about needing to win back those voters, but there was also something like 40-something percent who didn't vote at all.
Yeah.
And who's to say which side they would have landed on?
We got to think of something cool, a cool way to promote voting on the show and on social media.
Yeah, absolutely.
We need to think of that from now until the primary to make sure that every American listener that is eligible to vote who listens to us votes.
Gets out and votes. Yes. It's very important. You cannot underestimate how important that is.
Yeah.
It's super, super important.
Well, and that's where our downfall was in the last election. You know, my family either voted third party or didn't vote,
mm-hmm.
or voted for Trump because they didn't like Hillary.
Yeah.
You know, it was just so petty.
There are going to be people who don't like Bernie or who think he's too far, who think he's too far left.
Yeah.
But what I would like to say to the friends that you were talking about or your boss's friend is, do we really want somebody who's committed sexual assaults in the White House? Because...
I didn't even know about that until a couple days ago.
To be honest, you know, not that I want to get into it, but it's just like, you might as well vote for Trump.
Yeah.
Because they're the same.
They're the same.
They're the same. And like Elizabeth Warren made that point in last week's debate.
Yeah.
That basically, ideologically, in every way, they are the same. Bloomberg is a Republican. He is not a Democrat. So to me... this idea that you need to vote for him, and why is he the automatic choice? Why is it Bloomberg or Bernie? There are other centrists.
Yeah, I was even thinking, like, Buttigieg.
Yeah.
I would rather Buttigieg over Bloomberg.
I would rather
day.
Klobuchar, and I don't even like her.
My mom's gonna be offended.
Sorry, I don't like her. I think she's annoying.
I'm not a big fan either, but...
I saw her during yesterday's debate, and I was kind of like, oh.
I like the SNL... Who's the actress that plays her in SNL right now? What's her name?
Is it Rachel Dratch?
I think so. It's the same woman who did the sketch with Lindsay Lohan where they can't stop laughing. That really funny one.
I don't know. But I think it's
so
Rachel Dratch.
Debbie Downer. Debbie Downer. Yeah. She's funny. She's great. I like the bang thing she does.
Yeah. I mean, but here's the deal. I would rather have Klobuchar than Bloomberg. And I don't even particularly like her. But I will say the last two debates have solidified to me. I will be voting if anybody wants my endorsement.
Elizabeth Warren.
I will be voting for Elizabeth Warren.
You know,
in the primary.
I've gone back and forth a lot. I think I'm still pretty firm on Bernie, but I think I have to take into account how they've been doing at all of these other elections and caucuses because I want to vote for somebody that I feel like is gonna get a lot of other votes. Like I want to help that vote.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing about that, especially for us in California. The primary is your opportunity to vote for who you feel like should have the nomination.
That's true.
This is your time. Do it now.
It's my time.
Right? Like, do it now and don't do the thing that people did in 2016 where they wanted to stick to that in the general and write in
it's
Bernie.
Nothing or bust.
Don't do that.
Nothing or bust.
Yeah. So, for me, my feeling is I'm voting with my heart in the primary. And in my opinion, I like and appreciate Bernie. I really do. I think that Elizabeth Warren will make a better president. I think that's
the thing is I go back and forth because I love, can they both just be president together?
It would actually benefit us if they were president together because yeah. What I fear with Bernie is that he is so like, he is so like kind of my way or the highway. This is the deal.
Yeah.
That I don't know how well that's going to play when trying with being a diplomat.
Right.
When you're like having to work with other foreign leaders right. and things like that. Whereas I feel like Elizabeth Warren will crush that part of it.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? But I do like Bernie. I do think he'll get the nomination and I will of course vote for him in the general, but I will be voting for Elizabeth Warren in the primary. Yeah.
I like it.
So I wanted to talk just briefly. I know we spoke before we met up and I was like, I'm not going to mention anything about the coronavirus. But then we got a breaking news alert.
Oh.
I got a breaking news alert from New York Times and then I looked it up in the LA Times.
Yeah.
So the CDC has confirmed an infection of coronavirus in California.
No!
That may be the first U.S. case without a known link to travel abroad.
Oh my god. Okay.
So it is pretty scary.
My bosses bought face masks tonight.
Anthony told me that doesn't do anything.
And apparently, like, they're sold out on Amazon. Like, they're just gone.
Yeah, because I told Anthony he's getting ready to travel to San Francisco, and I was like, this is such a bad time to travel, you know, and you're going up north, and this thing happened in Sacramento.
Yeah.
I'm a little concerned about it. And so I told him to get a face mask, and he was like, it doesn't do anything anyway. And I was like, well,
okay. It's gotta do something, right?
Anthony just said nope for the listeners who can't hear.
I really hope that can be heard.
Yeah.
That's
well,
funny.
At this point, the patient's exposure is unknown, but the case was detected through the U.S. public health system.
Yeah.
The Center for Disease Control and Prevention is investigating what could be the first case of novel coronavirus in the United States involving a patient in California who neither recently traveled out of the country nor was in contact with someone who did.
Ugh.
So I don't know how they contracted the virus.
I don't know either.
The individual is a resident of Solano County and is receiving medical care in Sacramento County, according to the State Department of Public Health. So that's fun for us in California. And I had seen earlier this week, I'd gotten a New York Times alert that they are bracing themselves. Everyone is bracing themselves because all of the experts had been saying that it is not a, it's not a case of if this will happen in our country, if an outbreak will happen, but when. So it looks like shit has kicked
off.
What are the
side effects? I really don't know much at all about the coronavirus because I don't want to be paranoid.
I think they're flu-like.
But I'm not going to die?
You could die.
Oh, I don't want to die.
People have died. Yeah, people have died.
Oh,
so,
no.
So, you know, just something to be aware of.
No. Should we talk a bit about Weinstein?
Yeah, let's do it.
I don't have any notes on this. I've just been reading about it, and I'm reading about it now. But he did get convicted of 2 counts of sexual assault. He got acquitted for 2 counts, and that's what I'm looking for right now.
I have it right here.
Okay, perfect.
So he was convicted of third-degree rape of Jessica Mann, who was a former aspiring actress, as well as a count of criminal sexual act in the first degree against Mimi Haley. But they did find him not guilty on 2 counts of predatory sexual assault, which each carried a sentence of up to life in prison.
Yeah.
So he was also acquitted on a count of first-degree rape against Jessica Mann as well. He does face 5 to 25 years in prison on those accounts that he was convicted of. So there is that. I know it's kind of like a bittersweet thing because it does feel like he was let off on some of the more serious charges. However, I was just talking to Anthony about this before we started recording. I am, and this is sad to say, but I am impressed with the prosecutors in this case that they were able to get any convictions at all.
Yeah.
Because they put all of these women on the stand and, you know, our hearts go out to everybody who had to relive their trauma through this trial. But the 2 women in question, Mimi Haley and Jessica Mann, especially Jessica Mann, who was an aspiring actress who, you know, very tearfully kind of recounted her rape by Weinstein. She did continue to have a relationship with him after and during the assault.
I read about that, and then I guess, like, after the first, I think this was Jessica Mann I was reading about. After the first assault, they had kind of, like, maintained a normal relationship after that. And then when he raped her again, she was like, how could I be so stupid and, like, stick around?
Right. And I think they even had a psychologist testify as to how this is actually very normal behavior.
It's going back to your abuser or having it happen one time, being like, oh, well, it was just that one time. You know what I mean? There's rationalizations to tell ourselves. Exactly. You know?
Blame, turning it around on yourself, like all of these things. But historically, there hasn't been a very good track record of juries believing women, period, let alone believing a woman who, by her own admission, continued to have a relationship with this person. Especially when his defense lawyers were coming at them and saying, like, look, this was all consensual. Look, they kept having a relationship with him after this. Actually, they were using him. Weinstein's actually the victim in all of this. Like, that's kind of what they were doing.
Well, and it's interesting because, like, you know, all the defense has to do is create reasonable doubt. That's it. That's, like, the prosecutors are the ones that have the really hard job. The defense team just has to create reasonable doubt. So, like you said, it really does say something for the prosecution to be able to deter that reasonable doubt. Because especially in rape cases, I feel, because there aren't always hard evidence, like there would be with, say, like, a murder trial. There is a lot more room for reasonable doubt to come into play.
Right.
And the jurors, I believe, deliberated for like 5 days.
They did. They deliberated for 5 days.
Asked a lot of questions, and it seemed like they were aware of what this case would mean to the public and really took their time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think.
How on earth did they find a jury is my question. Like, that part must have been real tough.
That was a defense that his defense used as well, or a strategy that his defense used was, you can't find anyone who's not biased. Mm-hmm. You can't find anybody who doesn't have it out for Harvey Weinstein. But clearly, I think that they were trying to be fair.
Yeah, because they were looking objectively at it, not with emotion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's really great about it, and this is one of those times when I'm like, God damn it, I wish there had been a camera in that courtroom, because it's very clear to me, and this makes the most sense, and this is from what I've heard his reaction was, he was handcuffed immediately and escorted out to be taken to Rikers, and he was appalled by this. He had totally expected to be let out on bond pending an appeal or something like that.
Oh, my gosh.
He's a rich dude. I don't think he is.
Well, and he's quote-unquote fighting for justice right now, saying that I never raped anybody and blah, blah, blah.
And, you know, maybe he believes that. Like, maybe he actually believes that, but I really wish I could have seen his face when he realized he wasn't going to get to go home.
Yeah.
I really, really do. But on his way to Rikers, he had a heart incident.
Oh, no.
And had to be taken to the hospital. So he managed to delay going straight to Rikers.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he is out of the hospital yet, but I'm just like,
That's some shady shit. There's something going on there. Well, like, that's too perfect. I know he's had heart problems or whatever.
Well, I actually think maybe he did have a heart problem, but
because of that,
it speaks to his entitlement.
Yeah.
That this gave you you were so surprised that this gave you a fucking heart attack. Like, really. Yeah.
Did you see this comic that somebody sent us on Instagram today?
Oh, no, but okay. That's funny.
I'm going to describe it. So somebody sent us this comic on Instagram in direct message, and it was like, it's like the props department on a studio lot, and what looks like, you know, maybe Harvey's assistant or something with the walker that says Harvey doesn't need it anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that whole situation, it was so transparent.
Yeah.
And I'd have to say that as a juror, I think rather than being swayed by that piece of theater, I would have been insulted.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, are you trying to insult my intelligence by trying to manipulate me in this way? You know, like, that is, it's so insane.
Well, it really is.
His attorneys have said that they are going to appeal this verdict. Of course they are. But we can also rest a little easy knowing that he is most likely also going to be facing charges in California. So this was a New York trial. Yeah. He will probably also be facing charges here in California. So there will be more time added on to his sentence, most likely.
I
want to
be on that jury. I would never would,
they
you
would
know.
Never let
they
you.
They would never let me on. They would see my podcast and be like,
exactly.
Nope.
One look at your Instagram profile and be like, never mind. But But yeah, so his sentencing will happen on March 11th, I believe.
That's fairly quick.
It is fairly quick, and he does face 5 to 25. I imagine he will end up somewhere on the lower end of that spectrum. But still, he is going to Rikers, so yeah. That's encouraging, and he will most likely be facing further charges.
I was just reading an article about what life will look like for him in prison, and I guess they are taking extra consideration with him after the whole Jeffrey Epstein suicide, murder, homicide, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, so they're like, oh God, we have another really, like, high, you know...
Profile person.
Prisoner. So we have to make sure that this doesn't happen again.
Yeah, my guess is he will not be in general pop, but I don't think it's going to be, like, summer camp. Like,
no.
Anthony was like, oh, it's gonna be, like, old, rich, white guy jail. And...
He's at Rikers.
Yeah, he's at Rikers, and this wasn't a white-collar crime. This was a violent crime.
Yeah.
So while I don't think he's going to be treated like a normal prisoner, because he's not a normal prisoner, he'll probably be kept away from general population, I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk, and I especially don't think it's going to be a cakewalk for someone like him who is accustomed to a certain kind of lifestyle.
Oh, yeah.
So
100%.
I think, you know, there is some satisfaction in that.
Mm-hmm.
So the silence... Breakers, who we talked about in our very first episode of this podcast, a group that represents prominent Weinstein accusers, and this is from an NBC article. And this group includes actresses like Ashley Judd and Rosanna Arquette, et cetera, et cetera. They praised the courage of the women who testified. So there were a number of actually pretty high-profile women, including a Sopranos actress, who testified about their experiences with Weinstein. And they put out a statement jointly, and they said, while it is disappointing that today's outcome does not deliver the true, full justice that so many women deserve, Harvey Weinstein will now forever be known as a convicted serial predator.
Yep.
This conviction would not be possible without the testimony of the courageous women and the many women who have spoken out. So, you know, it is kind of a bittersweet thing, but at the end of the day, it's a win.
It's a win.
In my opinion. Yeah. What I'm hoping for is, like, 10 years.
Yeah.
Even 10 years, you know?
Yeah. Well, if his heart's that bad, you know, maybe.
He's old as shit anyway. Yeah. I'm like.
Maybe we can just get rid of him.
Yeah.
All right. I wanted to say some funny things Trump said this week.
Oh, okay. Great.
Involving the Oscars.
Oh, wow. He's, like, late. Late.
Yeah, well, so it was last Thursday. So we recorded last Wednesday and put an episode up on Friday.
Right.
So I read about this, and I wanted to still talk about it, but it's been almost a week.
Is this about Parasite?
It's about Parasite and Brad Pitt.
Proceed.
So you read it, right? You know what I'm talking about?
I know about the Parasite thing.
Okay, so last Thursday, he was at a rally in Colorado, because he never stops rallying. He bashed the Best Picture winner, Parasite, because it is a South Korean film. He says, how bad were the Academy Awards this year? Did you see? And the winner is a movie from South Korea. What the hell is that about? We've got enough problems with South Korea with trade on top of
Whoa.
It. They give them the best movie of the year?
Whoa. He knows our relationship with South Korea is actually, like, really, really good, right? Like, what a weird fucking take.
Yeah, he's like, with trade. And then he says, I'm looking for, like, let's get Gone with the Wind. Can we get, like, Gone with the Wind back, please? Sunset Boulevard. So many great movies. Oh. Gone with the Wind? Slavery.
He's a million years old.
His idea of a good movie is Gone with the Wind and Sunset Boulevard. Both great films.
They are good films.
Great films. But come on now. So
also, what a strange, like, he has no awareness about, like, what is coming out of his fucking mouth.
He doesn't like that it's Asian people that won Best Picture in an American Academy.
And put it up next to Gone with the Wind. Like, I understand that Gone with the Wind was a cinematic masterpiece when it came out. I get that. And, you know, that's fine. It was a product of its time. But to deliberately choose a movie that is centered around slavery and where the protagonists are Confederate slaveholders.
Yeah.
And to compare that to
Parasite.
You are missing the mark.
Yeah.
So hard.
Did you expect him to hit the mark?
I didn't. Sometimes it still surprises me a little bit whenever I'm like, oh God.
Yeah. Well,
you're
Neon.
Saying the quiet part out loud.
Yeah. So the quiet part. So Neon, which is the American distributor of Parasite, tweeted out, understandable, he can't read.
Yeah.
True.
So he doesn't want to watch a movie that has subtitles.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So then he also went on to talk about Brad Pitt's acceptance speech, which mentioned John Bolton's absence from the impeachment trial.
Mm-hmm.
Pitt said, "They told me I only have 45 seconds up here, which is 45 seconds more than Senate gave John Bolton this week. I'm thinking maybe Quentin does a movie about it, and in the end, the adults do the right thing." And then Trump goes on to say, "I was never a big fan of his. He got up, said a little wise guy statement. Little wise guy. He's a little wise guy."
God, he's such a child.
He's just a baby Trump.
I don't have notes on this, but I was listening to Daily Zeitgeist, and they were talking about there was the doctor for Trump, who Trump had liked initially because, like, basically when they give him his physical, he's like, "You are a magnificent specimen.
Oh, God.
Your body is fantastic," or whatever.
Oh, God.
And he recently, I don't know if he got fired or something, but he recently gave an interview where he was like, "Man, I tried to get the president healthy." And he was talking about the things that they would do. And he was like, "We tried to put cauliflower in his mashed potatoes." Like, all these things. I'm like, this is the shit you would do.
That's what I do with the child that I take care of. This is what I try to sneak vegetables and things and stuff like that.
This is what you do for a small child.
Yeah.
And we're talking about a 70-something-year-old man.
Who is our president.
And
they're just like, sneaking cauliflower.
They're like, "I don't know, man. We can't get him to stop eating cheeseburgers. I don't know."
Like, I mean, honestly, if I was the doctor, I'd be like, "Eat all the cheeseburgers you want. You're perfect the way you are. Here's some bacon.
In fact, actually,
here's some extra cholesterol.
Your body metabolizes it better.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
go
you ahead. Have a special kind of body that is impervious to high cholesterol and heart
attacks. That man's still alive. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Because the devil is keeping him alive.
Really, it's true.
The devil needs him around.
It's true. It's like, it's always the worst people that live the longest. Like,
only
Jesus.
The good die young, Keegan.
It's awful.
Man. Huh.
Well, okay.
Okay.
I did want to point out to some of our listeners here who maybe don't listen to My Worst Date.
Yeah.
Or didn't see in our story that we did make a post about this, but you were a guest on...
I had a double date.
Yeah, a double date. It was kind of weird for me. I'm not gonna lie. I felt like I was kind of in the middle.
Yeah, it was funny because the way we were seated, Keegan was sitting across from me, and then Cassie and Christina were on either side. And I'm so used to looking at you when we're recording that it felt almost like you and I were just recording with other people. And I think they kind of said that too, where they were like, "I feel like we're the hosts and we're like questioning Keegan and Maddie."
I know.
And you're like, "No, wait, what?"
It was a little awkward, but it was super, super fun.
It was really fun. I love those girls so much.
Yeah.
I had a blast.
Yeah, they're great. So... if you guys want to listen to that episode, if you want to listen to Madigan in a different setting or me in a different setting, if you've never listened to that podcast before, go over to My Worst Date podcast. You can do myworstdatepodcast.com, hit the listen tab, and you can find us.
It's in every single listening app. What's a podcast app?
Yeah. And
like wherever you're listening now, you can get My Worst Date.
Yeah. You could just literally search My Worst Date podcast and it'll pull up somewhere to listen. But if you want to do that, that came out last Monday. So we would love to have some crossover feedback.
Yes.
That's actually something I was really excited about whenever we got to talking about having you on the show.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I would love that because I feel like, not that I'm a different person, but I feel like listeners of this show who don't listen to the other show get a very different
side of me. You get a different side of you.
Yeah. And it's the same thing.
Because we're not talking about serious stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it's kind of the same thing for you. It's fun for people to be able to hear you in a different setting.
Yeah.
And so if that's something that you guys are interested in, go listen and let us know what you think. I really want to know.
Yeah. So two things you need to know. I talk about my belly button a lot.
Yeah.
And can I say what the fuck, marry, kill
yes.
is? Our fuck, marry, kill is the Scarecrow, the Lion, and the Tin Man from The Wizard of Oz. And we get analytical with
you
it.
You have
like,
to.
We break it down.
You have to. In our last episode of My Worst Date that came out on Wednesday, we did Girl Scout cookies.
Okay, I saw that. So I don't know what the just plain, boring sugar cookies are.
Oh my God, those are my favorite.
No, those I'm going to kill.
How dare you?
I'm going to, and the other one were Samoas, and what were the other, what was
Thin
the
Mints.
Other one? Thin Mints. Okay, I'm gonna fuck the Samoas and I'm gonna marry the Thin Mints. Samoas are my favorite, but it's like a coconutty, chocolatey.
You fuck the like, Samoa. That's what I did, too. I'm like, the Samoa is like the berry white of the Girl Scout cookies. It's like a smooth.
And the Thin Mint is dependable. It's always going to be good. You can stick them in the freezer for a while. That's they're even better.
How I feel about the trefoil. Like, I'm like, the shortbread cookie, it's like, it's watching CNN when you wake up. It's going, it's got a house on the lake. You know what I mean? Like, I like the trefoil. Anyway.
We get Keegan's mind a little bit better now.
I have a box at work. I'm going to get another box, keep them here so you can try them because they're freaking delicious.
Okay, I will try one. But Samoas and Tagalongs and Thin Mints are my favorites. I eat Tagalongs and Samoas really fast. We've had Thin Mints in our freezer for a while, and I think I'm the only one.
They
really
can stay in the freezer. That's the benefit of a Thin Mint is you can freeze it.
Yeah, but I hate they get frozen together. So when you pull them out, it's like a stack of five cookies. You have to wait for them to thaw out a little to break them apart. Mm. Or maybe my freezer is just really cold.
I did kill the Thin Mint, but I'm not usually big on chocolate and mint together. The Thin Mint is a rare exception when I'll do chocolate
really,
and mint.
Really, because my favorite ice cream would be mint chocolate chip. Only because of, like, I have a really great childhood memory surrounding mint chocolate chip.
I don't like mint chocolate chip at all.
But see, I think my other favorite would be, like, cookie dough. Chocolate chip cookie dough.
This is the kind of quality content you will get
when you listen to My Worst Date. Exactly.
That's right. To bring it back around.
Here's a teaser. Oh my gosh, you guys. Thank you so much for listening to another episode. We're always open to hearing your suggestions of what you want us to talk about on the next week's What's in the News. I'm always needing suggestions. So please feel free to direct message us on Instagram at Angry Neighborhood Feminist. You can also email us at neighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com. We have a Twitter that we sometimes use at YANF Podcast, YANF Podcast.
And I have been posting. That's I made like 3 posts this week, you guys.
I'm super proud
it's
of
very
you.
Very exciting.
I mean, I haven't been on Twitter because I had no idea. So let's see. We also have a Facebook business and group page. Go ahead and rate and review us on the business page and chat with our other listeners on the group page. Super fun there. You can also rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate that. You'll be featured on Reviews Day Tuesday. If you don't already, go ahead and listen to us on Radio Public. It's a free way for you to listen, and it helps us out a little bit.
Yeah.
That's all we got. With all that being said, we encourage you
to rage on.
Bye.